to Isham Brachos Daf Chavov. We ended yesterday's Gemara. Kind of a strange story that the Gemara broke down. We didn't really give it the time and the that we need to really go into the depths of it. There's so many Mefarsh and the Mashaz, Maral and others that try to give some depth to it. But we need to move on. So the Gemara ends just the last few lines that were up to today, in the bottom of Chav Heim Beis. So Gemara just wants to know the end of what the purpose of that story was. Amar Rabbi Bun, Ma lanu lilmod min ha'arvi hazeh. What was the point of this story? What are we learning from this Arab? Arab told us this thing is, the event is going to take place, that the day of Churban Bayis, Mashiach was born. And it all sounds great, and there's esoteric meaning to it. There's things behind it, but what do we need that for? What do we need the Arab to tell us this for? In fact, Gemara, because we have a pasuk, it's a mefurish pasuk. What do we need to learn from this Arab? Halamikra milihu, isn't it a mefurish pasuk? A pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk says valvanon ba'adir yipo. And Levanon will fall to a mighty king. Again, Levanon, Mefarshim explain, Levanon is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Charedim says, Levanon Mikdash, Diksev Ahar Tov Azev Levanon. And Chazal say it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's called Mal Ben Avodasei in Shal Yisrael. It's called Alavanon because it whitens the sins of Yisrael. So it's called, we call it Levanon. So you see that Levanon, the Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya that the Beis HaMikdash is going to fall to a mighty king. And then Maksib Beshe, what's the next Pasuk? V'yotza Chayter Migeza Yishai. And a staff is going to emerge from the stump of Yishai. Yishai, of course, referring to Mashiach, Hainu Mashiach, the Bayom Bo Shenechra Levano Nolad Mashiach. The Chavim says, learn out from here that will be born the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. Mashiach will be born on the day of Churban Beis Hamikdash. Churban Beis Hamikdash was the day he was born. Again, this yesterday's story was Mashiach was born. The Medrash says he Kadosh Baruch Hu hid him in Gan Eden until the time it's needed. All the Mefarshim, what's the reason why he had to be created? Why isn't he just created the day that he's coming? So obviously there are many reasons that Kadosh Baruch Hu, once he's created, then he has to come. Even if Klal Yisrael is not Roi Lekach, that he has to come. So what we see from the Pesukim themselves, we don't really need this Arab to tell us this whole story of yesterday's Gemara, but rather the Pasuk itself tells us that when Mashiach comes, then going to be, the Chor Beis HaMikdash comes, Beis HaMikdash was born, and we greatly anticipate for when that time comes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him. Bekaro. The Gemara continues with discussing the Seder of the Brachos in Shemoneh Esrei, which we began 2-3 days ago. The Gemara really is concluding today the last part of the Shemoneh Esrei. Amar Rabbi Tanchuma, Mipnei Ma'askinu Shamea Tfila Bracha Chamesh Esrei. Why did they, what's the purpose why we have the Bracha, Masakin the Bracha of Shamea Tfila, particularly should be the 15th Bracha. Keneged Hashem Lamabal Yasha. Now, first of all, it's interesting. Look at the Haredim explains that really it's not the 15th bracha. It's really that we count the brachos that we have. So we said the other day, yesterday, that in Yerushalmi there is no bracha of Semach David. It's incorporated together in the bracha of the Geula, incorporated together Malchus Beis David. So therefore, according to that, according to the Bavli, according to Yerushalmi, then it's the 15th because they don't have the bracha of a Semach David. But even according to the Bavli, the Haredim explains, it's also considered that because if you take out the bracha of Lamashinim, which was added on later in order for all the Moshrim that were there, they added it later that was added to in Yavne by the Chachamim. So then then this also becomes it's the 15th as well. So, but why is the 15th? Where do we connect? Why is it the 15th bracha? Keneged Hashem Amal B'Yashav, because in the Tehillim we have Mizmor. We say in the Tehillim that we have that we say constantly Mizmor Da'avol Hashem Bnei Eilim. So there are 15 times we have Hashem's name, and the 15 mention of Hashem's name there. And Keneged Hashem Lamabul Yashav, and then that Hashem, 15th time, refers to Hashem was the one who stopped the flood, which means that the world stopped being destroyed, and therefore that is the message we want to bring out. Shehu kula has pranis malav alolam, because Baruch is the one who listens to tefillos and prevents perennials to come to the world, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mabul. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped the Mabul. So to hear, we say, all perennials that come to destroy, just like the Mabul did, Hashem is the only one that stopped it, the only one that has the ability to stop it as well. The Chavetim bring down that the Gemara discusses in Babli that this kapitel has 18 yutches, Askaros, the 18 Askaros, but the 15th one is Hashem Mabul Yashav, which is the one that was saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to our tefillos to bring the end to the perennials of Klal Yisrael, Shagulot perennials. And then Gemara has a question, Avoda Lehodoya. What's the reason why that Avoda follows Hodoya? The Hodoya, Modim, follows the bracha of Avoda, Ritzei Hashem Ritzei, the bracha of Ritzei, followed by the Alach of Modim, based upon the Psukim. The question is that something is missing here. Why doesn't the Gemara ask the obvious question that the Mefoshim bring down? Why doesn't the Gemara ask that that we have the bracha of the, which in order to say, if we're going through the state of everything, so the Gemara should also explain that why after Shema Koleinu should becomes the bracha of Avoda, should be Ritzei. We just go right away to the next question, why is the Ritzei follow, why is the Moedim follow the Avoda, should follow Hodoya? Why does Hodoya follow Avoda? Why don't we ask the question, why is Avoda follow Shema Tefila? The Gemara didn't ask that question, and obviously because the Gemara already discussed it before, but the Gemara said that all these three things are one pasuk, he put them all together, so they're all included in the pasuk, and there's a Seder of the pasuk. So in the Seder of the pasuk that we have them, therefore, there's no one like the Chavetim brings down, like we said earlier. Since it comes before anyway, therefore the Gemara didn't have to ask this question because it's obviously Pashut. We follow the Seder of the Pasuk, and that's why we know that that we understand why that the why Avoda comes after Shema Koleinu. Okay, the other Gemara has a question about Avoda. Why does Avoda come after? Modim come after Oda after the Avoda? Excuse me. The Gemara says Zoveach Todeh Yichabdenu. Pasuk in Tehillim, Zoveach Todeh Yichabdenu, whoever offers thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Derech Arena B'Yeshua Lekem, we'll see to Yeshua. So therefore again, you see the same idea, that it's the, it brings the Yeshua, and therefore the connection is that we should follow that way, that you say, thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you bring a korban, you bring a Mizbeach, and then you bring the korban Toida. So the Mizbeach, so it follows that the Todeh, you thank Hashem for the Yeshua that you have. The Chesim B'Shalom, and of course the Shemon Esrei ends with Shalom. Shakol HaBrachos Chos Mei and Shalom. All the brachos, they end with Shalom. And the all brachos Kohanim, all the brachos that we find end with the brachos of Shalom. And therefore, it's only befitting that we end the Shemon Esrei with Shalom as well. With Shalom as well. And the Gemara question is, why is that so? What's the reason why we answer with Shalom? So the Gemara says, the reason why we do that, because it's a clear machzik bracha, that all of them together, shalom is the thing that holds it all together. Without shalom, you have nothing, you have no brachas. A person doesn't have shalom in his life, can't live in peace, then there is all the brachas, meaningless, have no purpose. So therefore, that's the sikkim of all the brachas. And the Gemara says, we see, it's the last Mishnah, Maseches Uksim, which is the last Mishnah in Shas, famous Mishnah, Mavshim Machalafta, Ein, there's no kli there's no kli that's maksik bracha more than shalom. My Tom, why is that so? Hashem owes le amo yitan, Hashem verachas amo b'shalom. Because Baruch Hu blesses Klai Yisrael with shalom, basically means that everything is shalom. In other words, that because Baruch Hu has the kli of shalom, and in that shalom is that everything together flows out of that. In other words, that the bracha, the kli of bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the kli bracha of shalom, allows all the other brachas in the world to overflow from that kli. And therefore, that's the greatest of the brachas. So we end again the Shas, we end the Mishnah Shas with this, and it's an incredible message. And it's the importance here as well that we end Shemoneh Esrei for this as well. If you look at the Charedim, Oshiyitin Lahem Shuvish, the Baruch Hashem of Shalom, who Kli Amachzik Bracha. This is the Kli. So Ozva Toike Kamachzik B'Davak Koyach Einayim Yachol Lichsam LeBeikvah. You have a powerful Kli, a vessel that nobody can touch, nobody can open up, nobody can move, nobody can lift. That's the bracha of Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody can touch it, no one can do anything with it, and that's that allows the flow of all the other brachas in the world. Continue the next sugi in the Mishnah. Karo v'toh yakso l'mokab shetoh. Person's reading Shema. We finish now the Seder of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, which we sidetracked to talk about the idea that if you make a mistake, you have to go back to the beginning. Now we come back to the original source of the Mishnah of Karo v'toh yakso l'mokab shetoh. Person is saying Shema, you made a mistake, you have to go back to the way the mistake is. So Gemara explains, what does the Braisa mean? What does it mean, mistake? Toa ben ksiva l'rishon l'shniyah. Person was made a mistake doing ksiva l'rishon l'shniyah. He's saying the bracha, you have two ksavtim. We have two ksavtim in Shema. Ksavtim is just beisek v'sharecha. We have it the first one, the first part, the perik, and then the second perik. So what happens, you're saying ksavtim, and you don't remember if you blackout, and you don't remember if you are up to the first one, well, the first period, or you're up to the Ksavtim in the second period. Which one, what do? You go back to the first one. You assume that you don't know which one you're up to, so then you go back to the first one. This way, in case you missed the first one, in case it was the first one you were mistaken with, you go back to that one. And this way, you'll still say the second one. If it was the second one, you'll just be saying the first one again, which is fine that you can do. So, Tov, I know the Egon Tov. What if you missed, they don't know where you're up to? Go back to where last time you remember where you are. You're saying Shema, you don't even remember where you're up to. Not the which word, Kesavtem, the first part, the second part, but you don't even know if you're where you're up to at all. You don't know what pasuk you're up to. So then you go back to where you're Barlow. Says the Charedim, Barlow is a pasuk, Shiyom, Vada Yachsub, Shiloh. So pasuk, even so, Lasso, Lakotim, Lo. So if you're saying Shema, you're three quarters through, you don't remember where you're up to, you lost concentration, but you know that you remember saying a particular word or a particular pasuk that you remember saying. So you go back to that pasuk, you don't have to go back to the beginning of Shema, but to the part, last part where you're Barlow, that's where you have to go back to. To go back to continue from there. Says the Gemara, a story about a person made a mistake in Shema and what the psak was. Dilma, Gemara said, "Do as a ma'isa." B'chira of Yasser, Ami, Sulkin Mevid, Gnunei Rav Elazar. These three Amarayim, Rabbi Yasser, these three Tanoim, I should say, went Sulkin Mevid, Gnunei Rav Elazar. They went to go ahead and to arrange a chuppah. For the wedding of Rabbi Elazar, a chuppah. First, it means like to make a chuppah made out of twigs of branches. That was the osim lechuppas chasanim mehadas, says the Rish Meselo. They were going to prepare a chuppah for his wedding. Shomin kolayd of Yochanan Adus Mila. They heard the voice of Yochanan, who was Maktis Mila, was explaining a certain halacha, a chiddush, was saying a chiddush to his talmidim, and they overheard him talking. Who's going to go down and hear from him? We have to go, we're in the middle of a mitzvah, we got to go and prepare the chuppah. Who's going to go down and hear him and be able to tell us what he said? He said, let's get Rabbi Elazar to go down. No, he's actually the chassan. But let him go down. Why? Why should he go down and listen to Rabbi Yochanan and share? Zariz Sagim. Because he's very Zoriz, he moves quickly, and he'll be able to, since he's a Zoriz, he'll be able to go and come back in time for the chuppah. But we're busy preparing the chasana. But he is somebody who will go back and come back in time to be able to tell us over the halacha even before the chasana. So the Gemara says, let's see what the chiddush is. According to Charedim, who Zoriz Harbi Yared Ben Amakom Shioskin the Sakin Shal, Father Chazor Olam. He's very quick. He rests quick. He is a quick person. He'll come back and tell us over what the shear was, what the halacha was. Moshe Nachlas Olam went down to listen to shear and came back on my alone. And he said to them, "This is what Yochanan said. This was the chiddush that he said. The Brisa that we just finished quoting about make a mistake in Kasaftem. You have to go back to the first one. Zok Rav Yochanan." Person's going in and saying Shema. He doesn't know which one year where he's up to, Ksavta in the beginning, Ksavta at the end. However, now you're at the word Laman Yirbu, which is Mashma. If you say Laman, if you be up to Laman, that means you obviously finished the second one, the second parak. Hayim Shemoa. Now you're up to a third, Laman Yirbu. But you're not sure. You're not sure which one. But if you say Laman Yirbu, so then the says Chazaka, Kivan Zakar Yochanan, there's a Chazaka that he did it correctly, that he's Mistakavan properly, and that he didn't skip anything. In other words, we assume that he, if he said Laman, that he made no mistakes until then. He didn't confuse the Chasavtim. Itaka said the Chasavtim twice, and it's up to Laman. So he continues from here. I maybe forgot the Chasavtim, but since he said Laman, there's a Chazaka that a person does it automatically because he's so used to it by rote, and if we would make a mistake. Says the Pnei Moshe, Maglamat Lamayibu, you make a misapik, but daitum kare, doesn't matter if you said it or not. Chazaka kiven. Halach as Chazaka is, the regular shonu who all that coming out. Go, quote Lashon of the Rambam, it says that you go by the language, what's routinely in his tongue, what he always says like he does every day. And so lastly, you have to go back to Avim Shemoha. Since you normally do that, it's a Chazaka there, that's where you're up to, then you don't have to go back any earlier than that, you can assume that that's where he's up to. Because that's his Lashon. That's the Chiddush of Yochanan said in the Shir on that day. That was what he added on to the Halakha of the Brisa that we have in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, then the Gemara just continues with the next Halakha. In the Bavle, the Gemara, this we have this as well, this Memra, and just continues to say that his Chaverim said, "Oi, if we only came to Basi El Zu, could die. If we only would have come today just to listen to this thing, we would have been enough for us. There's such an incredible Kiddush." Says the Gemara, Abilia, Yasi b'shem Rakaruba, Rav Laya, the name of Rav Yasi said the name of Rakaruba. Mispal Yimotza, Motzabo Kishamai Tefillah. The person's davening, and you forgot where you're up to, and all of a sudden you realize you're at Shamei Tefillah. What's Halakha Chazak even? Do you have to go back to beginning of Shemoneh Esrei? Because maybe you missed many of the brachas. Halakha is no. Since now you're at Shemoneh Tefillah, Chazaka Kivin. Chazaka, you did it right, which means that until now you didn't make any mistakes. Since you're up to here, we assume that why, even though you weren't thinking, so used to it, it's Marg Lebe Pumye, that it continues that you have every day in your you say it anyway, the right way, and therefore you're so used to saying it that you didn't make any mistakes, and you do not have to go back earlier than that to any part of in Shema. You don't have to go back. This applies to all halakas. The Sefer Chared, the Chared, excuse me, Pnei Moshe says in his Pirish, Chena de mitfila, matza atzma b'shamei tfila, v'yodeya shom l'shamei tfila, zaka akim namar v'nizay, so that's all. Halakha applies now to Shema, to the tfila also. If you don't remember where you're up to, but all of a sudden you're at Shema Kolenu, you're at Shema Tefila, you're at a place where you now know where you are now, but you don't remember or you lost track where you were up to, you can assume that you said it correctly until now and you don't have to go back and to repeat any of the brachos that you said before. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiya, B'Shem Elazar, once we're talking about having Kavana is very important. As we see, you can make a mistake and forget and not know where you're up to. But if you think you don't know, listen to some of the Amoraim, some of the challenges that they had. A person davin, but didn't have kavana properly. If you know you're going to have kavana to do it again, you spal davin again. Person davin, and he finished Shemoneh Esrei, and he finished davin, and he realized he didn't have kavana. So now the Yerushalmi says that if you know that you're going to have kavana the second time, it was a fluke what you did now. You weren't concentrated, but no, you know that normally you do concentrate, you can concentrate now the second time. The lucky is, you can go ahead and you daven again. But if you don't know if you've been able to do it, then you don't daven again. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Torah Mechaber bring down. We paskin as that since Lemaisa, we today don't have proper kavana. Most likely, if you didn't have kavana first time, you're not going to have kavana the second time. And therefore, we do not say Shemoneh Esrei again if you... We don't do that. We don't say Shemoneh Esrei again because we don't have the ability to have the proper kavana, and therefore we say that you're not going to have kavana a second time. We don't. Therefore, you don't go back. That's how we pass. Not like Yerushalmi. Gemara says, and this next few lines of Gemara is something that's incredible source of chizuk. We all think that an average person we struggle with kavana, but the Amoraim, Tamei Chachamim, Tanoim, Gedolim, they have no problem with kavana. So listen to the Gemara. A few very honest admissions from some of the Gedolei Akoraim, Gedolei Tanoim Amoraim. Rabbi Chiya Berubia, a great Rabbi Chiya said, and not miyoyim lo kavanis. I, from the earliest day, never happened properly. One time, I really wanted to have kavana. My entire life, I suffered from no kavana, and I really wanted to have kavana. Ve'aharis believi ve'armis, and I began in my mind thinking, while I was trying to have kavana, man olo kume malki kadame. Who was the one that should go first? Who was mokadima? Alakpata, iresh kalusa. The Persian alakpa, which the Mefarshim say is like the assistant, appointed by the Persian king as the officer to oversee Eretz Yisrael, like an emissary of the king, of the Persian king, or the Reish Galusa, which is very chashuv. So which one is more? So if they're both there, which one goes first? Which one would walk in first? So what was the point you're saying? That my entire life I had no kavana, and now finally one time I said I'm going to work on having kavana, and instead I'm thinking about this, my mind wandered into this issue, whether which one should walk in first. In other words, that there's no completely something off base, something that it had no this, and therefore showed again no kavana, that I wasn't able to have kavana even over here. So the Gemara says another examples. Gemara says, "Anah." This is Shmuel saying this as a statement. "Anah manis aperchaya." I was busy. I was trying to have kavanah shmenes, right? "Well, manis aperchaya." I started counting baby birds. The Rabin Rabbi Chunot, he says he was anah manis to musayu. I was sitting next to a wall of bricks. I started counting the rows of the stones on the wall. So totally my mind went completely south. Went completely just thinking about other things. So Amarav Masai Masasya said, "Anamaksik tivili rashi." I give thanks into my head the karavi moti lemaidim, that even though I have no kavana when it comes to maidim ukar magame, I bow by myself. Bows by itself. My head bows by itself. Similarly, again, it would seem to be saying the same idea, is that Imam should have no kavana. When I get to Motim, my body automatically bows down, and bends over. But even without me thinking of the proper kavana, this is what I have. Lomaisa, it definitely, on one hand, on one level, it's encouraging. You see, this is they struggle with. So we see with Chazal, Marshes, and Brachas, one of the three things that we suffer from every day is lack of iyun tefillah. But even the great Amoraim Tanoim had these difficulties. But there are other Mefarshim who Mechazek and say it's not Chas V'Sholom to think they thought of birds and they thought of this, but rather the Charet Pnei Moshe says, "I'm going to perkimak mashira Torah." He was counting birds because of Hira Torah. He was thinking of Torah, and part of his Torah Dikah Cheshbon was in the birds. And the same thing with the Binyan. He was looking, counting the board, and the same thing when he says Ukar Miragme, he bowed down automatically from Modim. So the simple, like we said, explained that just he wasn't having kavan at all. Just body did it automatically. But again, the Haredim says, no, Shani Torah, I was thinking about Torah, about learning. And therefore, that was why. So it wasn't that they had no kavan, they were thinking about all kinds of ridiculous things, but rather the thinking about Direi Torah, Hurei Torah, that was what they were seeing das from. So if they weren't davening, thinking properly of davening, it was because the mind was so deeply focused and concentrating on Torah, that on different aspects of Torah, that they couldn't properly switch it off from Torah to tefillah daven properly with kavana. But very far removed from us, whose our kavanas are not in Torah and yet very hard to focus on the kavana of tefillah. Just to mention the Chafetz Chaim, I guess it's appropriate to say, Chafetz Chaim, I heard this in my youth, and sometimes you hear something in your youth, and it stays with you your entire life. And this mashal from the Chafetz Chaim on having kavanah in tefillah is something that I live with every single tefillah. It has changed my ability to have kavanah in tefillah, and whoever's listening to it, it should change yours as well. Very quick mashal of Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal of a elderly woman, a poor woman, had a few a barrel of apples, and she's standing in the corner of the marketplace trying to sell apples to make a few pennies to bring home for food. And a bunch of unruly children were running by, and one of them knocked over the barrel of apples, and the apples were rolling down the hill, and all the boys were grabbing apples. It was going down the road. She's standing there screaming, "My apples, my apples." But somebody walked by, says, "Lady," he says, "instead of screaming now, why don't you just stop, pick up the barrel? At least you'll be able to save some of the apples and still have something to sell. Stop worrying about what fell out. Try to pick up and save what salvage what's in." The Chafetz Chaim says, that's the mashal of tefillah. We think sometimes you start davening Shmoneh Esrei, you want to have a kavana in the beginning, and all of a sudden it comes to the first bracha, second bracha, third bracha, and you don't have kavana, and you forget the whole Shmoneh Esrei. You just daven it up, quickly say it, and don't even think about it because you already blew it. You try again next tefillah. Chafetz Chaim says, no. Even if you were in the last word, you said no kavana the entire time, your mind is someplace else, on vacation someplace, but you're saying now the last word, I'm a varikas Amo, and you still have the word left, Bashal, one word left of Shmoneh Esrei, grab the barrel with the last apple remaining and have kavanah on that last word, and you salvage something from the tefillah. This is what the Chafetz Chaim's mashal to help you get the kavanah and tefillah. You know, of course, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, Mishnah must have kavanah for the first three brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, at least try for that, the first three brachos. But the Chafetz Chaim's mashal, I think, is so powerful that very often if we don't have it, we're caught someplace, all of a sudden we remember we're davening, we have to try to at least grab the barrel with the remaining apple or apples left, and we can still have biyotze, that we have some, we daven with some level of kavanah, we could say we daven this tefillah with some aspect of kavanah. Hope it worked for me, and hopefully it worked for you as well. Let's continue the Mishnah. Mishnah continues with the halacha of kavanah and tefillah, referring to the same when we have Maseches Brachos, the same sugya, ha'oim nim kairin barash ilon, hired workers, and say Kriya Shema while they're hired to go take off the fruit from the tree. And they're on Rosh Ilan, up at Rosh Nidbak, they're on top of the tree, or they're standing on top of the Nidbak on a row of bricks. They're bricklayers. They're standing on top of a row of bricks. So the lucky is that they come, it comes to say the Mount Kriya Shema. So the lucky is they're allowed to go ahead and say Kriya Shema even that they're there. Question is, of course, how can you do that? You have to have Kavanah. So we know we said you have to Kriya Shema, you have to have Kavanah. So we said the reason why they can do that is because simply since Kriya Shema Mi'etzem is the first brach, the first word, the first sentence, I should say, Pasuk Rishon Mulvad is enough. Even though the Gemara says you have to have on the whole first perek, but Lemaisa, as long as you have Lekatchila, as long as you have this B'dievet on the Shema Yisrael, you're Yotzei Kriya Shema. So therefore, since it's only one Pasig, we say they could be on top of the tree, they can stop what they're doing and concentrate enough, it takes only a few seconds, to concentrate what they're doing and say Shema, at least the first letter, line properly, and that would be the halacha by Kriya Shema. It says, the Mishnah, Mashenkin Latfila. But davening, you can't do that. We don't let them daven on top of a tree, on top of a thing. And what's the reason for that? Again, says the Pnei Moshe, it's a loser rachmi, who tefillas rachmim, who boy kavana, you have to have kavana. But the yoridin lamatibus, but you have to go down off the tree, off the wall, and daven. Again, what does that mean? Rachmi, a person, shema is a chi of midaraisa, you have a mitzvah to say shema, so you have to do it. But we don't make you come down if you could just do one pasuk with kavana. But the tefillah, by definition, is daven to Hashem, you're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for things that you need. How can you do that without thinking, without kavana? It's meaningless. So therefore, and kids, you can't have proper kavanah while you're on top of a tree. So therefore, there, halakha by tefillah, you would have to come down off the wall, come down off the tree, and be able to have kavanah. Okay, remember I said we said earlier that you have to have kavanah the whole first perek. But the Bavli Paskin is the first pasuk, and we paskin like the Bavli and Shulchan Aruch, and therefore that would be sufficient over here. Says the Gemara. Gemara says a little bit of a different lashon. In other words, because we have a lashon and the Mishnah starts off with that we call the people on the trees are umnin, and the people on top of a nidbak are barosh nidbak. So, question is that called? Do you have to have umnis to take off fruit off a tree? Seems the words were Mishnah's word is a little bit incorrect. Is the wrong word. So the Gemara here, mani kini, does it change the lashon of the bright? Change the lashon of the Mishnah. We changed the lashon of the Mishnah, and rather poilin kayur nashir ilan. They're poilin. The workers, the ones are hired to take fruit off the tree. They're only poilin. They're no umnin. They rosh ilan. But umnin, and the craftsmen are the ones or on the stone, there you don't hire a person off the street to put up a wall. You have to have a people who know what the stone matches, people who know what they're doing. A contractor who knows how to make a straight line to build. Taking fruit off the tree is simply just poalim, so we changed the lashon of the Mishnah, more appropriate these words than the Mishnah we have, not poalim for both, but not umdin for both, but poalim v'umdin. Says the Gemara, bring your right, don't with the poalim, the Mispalim Rosh Hazad, so she taina. We have in a brisa that the poalim, they're allowed to daven, but Rosh Hazad on top of an olive tree or top of a date tree, a fig tree. A shakal on the Mispalim, but all the trees have to go down and daven. But a regular person has to go, not a worker, the owner of the trees has to always go down and daven. Why is an olive tree and a tainted dicker tree? We already said before that for tefillah, the Mishnah says, okay. Tefillah says the Rachman, everyone has to go down. Yet we say, especially now, dispensation says in the Braisa, that if it's just two types of trees, a Rosh Hazayas or a Rosh Hateina, an olive tree or a fig tree, there, we don't, they're allowed to, only the workers are allowed to stay up, don't have to come down, but an owner has to come down. Faithful Rosh Hazayas, why is these two trees different than all the other trees? Ababa of Zima, the Maisha took the same Meruba, because it's a tremendous tirka. There are two different ways to learn the tirka over here, what the pshat and the tirka is. The simple pshat, the first one, learn the tirka is. Sheyeshlem anofim harbe, says the Pnei Moshe. There are a lot of branches, and it's very hard to go up and down. It takes a long time. And if it takes you extra time to go up and down, it's going to be spat on the left side. It's going to cause a big hefset to the owner, to the people who hired the workers that are spending so much time climbing up and down. It takes a long time because there's so many branches in the way to be able to go up and down properly. So that is the way Ben Yonah learns. It's the way the Pnei Moshe learns as well. But the Reshmi Salu has an interesting pshat. He brings that interesting pshat. He says, the reason why this is different over here is because since there's so many branches, not that it's hard to go up and down, but since it's so many branches, it's very hard to locate trees. And because why? Because to find the fruit, perisim and ayin, all the fruit are all covered, and these two type of trees are covered with all the branches, with all the leaves. And therefore, it's very hard to find them. It takes a long time to find them. Now we're going to make you go down. Then Dilma and Yarayishka Kosavakum. If we come back up, we'll forget where we found them, and have to spend another lengthy amount of time to find where they were again. And that's a pseid lebalabais. Therefore, we allow them to go down. So it's interesting that the workers will be for. Since it would be an extra amount of time to try to find again where those fruit are hiding, if it's not fair, we let them stay up there. So what about the balabayas? So why does the Braisa say balabayas? They cannot. There's no heter for them. They have to go down to daven. So if you say it's going up and down takes a long time, so you say balabayas are different because it doesn't make a difference because they have a shibud l'malacha. They can go. They have as much time as they want. They could do. There's nobody counting a clock with them, and therefore we don't allow them to daven up while they're up. They have to come down. What about the fact that Tim takes them to find a long time to find the tree, the fruit? So again, on this, as Rashi Slow says, "Tvius ilis mukavayu makiro." Yeah, no, because they know the owners know where the fruit are, and they're not going to forget. They'll know, and the chachamim wouldn't allow them to do though, because he'll be able to go right back up and quickly locate where the fruit are. And therefore we'll be able to no heter, no dispensation for him to be able to stay up and while davening. It's inappropriate for tefillah. He can't have kavanah properly in tefillah. Therefore he has to go down. Okay. Interesting, just that the Lamaisa, this is not what we're talking about. The Mefoshim here also explained, Haredim go into where the Gemara earlier, you're not supposed to stay at Davim and Mokum Gavoa, very high, Alsa Nivus, Alsa, it shows smacks of Gaiva, but that's not what we're talking about here. We like to stay up on a tree, that's a. It's like a person's on a higher floor. He's in a second floor, a third floor. We don't make a person say that you can't daven, you have to go down to the basement. That's not what it means. Same thing over here, he says that's not called a prab gavoa. Take a look, even the old labila nas malakto, kadam shalom lane, you're going up to do your malacha. Person goes up, lives on the fifth floor, and goes up, takes the elevator up, but don't say you have to go down to the galabi to daven, because that's where you went up for you to live. So to over here, you're going up to do the work, to take climbing down the tree for malacha. So we don't say that's considered a malacham gavoa, and that's not a violation, it's not something that contradicts the gemara that we had earlier. Right, gemara continues another brisa. How do we learn? Hakasa, a porter, the person who sleeps for a package, Zapisha, Maso, a cafe, you know, he has a load on his back. He's still great Krishma. We don't make him unload the thing. Again, what's the svara? Same idea we said before. Since Krishma is only one pasuk, we paskin and one pasuk enough to be yotze, have kavana. So with one, even though you're carrying a big package, we're not afraid, you know, thickness. You want to make sure it doesn't fall. It takes such a quick time to say one pasuk that we're not afraid that you're going to, that you're going to have any problem. Have the question, you shouldn't start Shema. When you're loading up or when you're loading or you're unloading, you shouldn't be getting Yishim. Because then you're busy, you have to focus, how to lift right, how to make sure you lift up, that you don't, lifting it up on your back as you make sure you get it right, that you're not going to hurt yourself, that you can carry the load. You're thinking about that, you can't think about Krishma or unloading. You want to make sure it doesn't break, it doesn't drop, you don't get hurt while unloading. Therefore, in such a time, we don't let you do it. Therefore, Bangkok, a person should not either. You know, that look is that either way. In such a case, you can't do a shush pikul. You know, you can't even have kavanah for that, and therefore we do not let you for that. Even though we said while it's on your back, you can say first pasuk gishma. When it's in that state, we don't let you. Bangkok. Either way, whether you're carrying it, it's on your back or whatever. At least by other machine before, you can't daven until you take it off. But if you have a load of four kabin, then mutter that you're allowed to go ahead and even daven Shmoneh Esrei. What's the reason for that? Again, the first one explained, because it's so small, low Torah kolad mutter. It's such a small thing, a small amount, that a person doesn't have to focus on it, and it's not any problem to have any kavana in such a case. Even, you know, in tefillah, we're not afraid of any problem, and we allow you to go ahead and to daven with this when it's such a small one. Says the Gemara of Yonis, and he qualifies that halacha, husha shikel, only if you go ahead and you can properly balance the load, that's what we say that you're allowed to do. What does that mean, balance the load? Amar Ashika, what does that mean, just balance the load? Train hilkin l'chari v'kalakumi. It means if he has two parts behind him and one in front of him, in such a case, that would be exact. You know, if he puts two shoulders that's standing, that part of it's in his back, part of it's in his front, such a way it's easy to carry. It's not, it doesn't, you know, when a person carries a load in such a way, you know, you put the mishkal derchanosim, they put a little bit in the front, on the front part, on the chest, and the other two-thirds on the back, right? They have one in front of him, you hang it like over your shoulder, two-thirds of the weight on your back, one-third in the front, it's stable, it's stationary, it's not too much stress on your back or on your front. In such a thing, you could even say Shema, you could even daven, because that thing is not being Masiach Das, that's not going to be Yushav Das, that's not to take away from your Kavanah, and that we allow you to go ahead and daven in such a way. It's not a problem, we're not afraid you're going to fall down, you're not going to be torahed about that, and it would be considered okay. There are different gears in the Gemara that are going to bring down. If it's all on your back, it's okay. If it's not okay, in the front, isn't okay. Like the way the Gemara says, to the back and the front, that would be considered okay, because it's en kavod monel. It doesn't stop you from going. You can walk, you can stand, and therefore that would be considered okay. Gemara says, the la yir meravis bein avakara. Another luck when you're davening, you can't be saying Shema. You can't go ahead, make signs with your eyes. Signal to somebody, wave to some, wink to somebody, any gesture that you're making with your hands or your eyes or your body, you can't do that, because that is considered a violation. It's considered you can't focus properly, and we don't let you do that. That's breaking your kavanah. That's not being mechaven properly when you're focusing on sending a signal to somebody. All right, so, you know, the Shema, it takes away. Is that only the first parak? Is that even the second parak? Is that in Tefillah? What are we talking about here? So again, here you have Machlokes Rishonim. Some say it's only in the first pasuk, it's no good. Some say it's also the entire Kriya Shema. You can't do that, even the second portion. Some say only in the first two, not in the third is okay. Therefore, you're allowed to go ahead, and how far we go. Mr. Burr brings down both days here and says that Lamaisa, we hold that until the first two parakim of Kriya Shema, the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs and Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim, there you cannot signal any type of sign, and if you do, you have to go back and say Shema again. Says the Gemara, Halakha is, what about other, when I learned to feel what Shema, what about a Bekas HaMazon? Gemara is Halakha, that by Birchas HaMazon we're going to see that this applies as well to Birchas HaMazon, that you can't go out and make any type of merozen. The Gemara says, workers that are doing malacha by a bala bais, and now they want to go at a bench. What do they do now? The longer they bench, it takes away from the work they're working, and the bala bais is losing. They make the first bracha, and in that bracha you combine Yushalayim and Shalaret. You make what we call the concise Berkas HaMazon. You incorporate the brachas of Berkas HaOretz and the other brachas that we need in benching, that deraisa, we put Birkas HaOretz and Birkas and you shall call Yushalayim and Birkas HaOretz, you incorporate into that bracha, one bracha. Because of Shalaret, and Yechaisim, Ala Oretz, Ala Mazon, Yechaisim with that bracha, and therefore, Maruch Hashem, Ata Oretz, Ala Mazon, and therefore we included all those brachas together. It's an abridged version of Shema, a shortened version of Shema, which a person has to do when you're in a situation where your clock is ticking and your employee has to get paid and you have to bench. And Yechaisim in such a way, and therefore that would be in such a way you're able to mekayim the mitzvah of benching. At the same time, you're also being able to be mekayim the rice of benching, and at the same time, be not taking away from the malacha of your of the employee. The Gemara says, "Avol lema yosanim b'suda." If they're doing work for the employer and for the suit itself, or shabbat ochel abamet him with them, they have to make the full bracha, including the berachas drabon and the toba meitu that we add on later. Now, when you're davening together with the owner, so obviously, because he's having a suda with the owner, with the balabas, the boss of the company, who's paying you, so obviously he's together, so he's okay. He's masking that you should have you should be able to bench together with him because he's sitting at the suda. So, Mela, that would be included. But if he's not, if in some other case where you're not, where he's not together with you, or you're eating together, all sitting down and doing suda, and the bala is there, halach is such a case, you do all brachas. We don't allow you to take the abridged way of doing tefillah. And the mela, there's no heter for this in shortened Birkas HaMazon. Shortened Birkas HaMazon. Now, the shayla is today, whether we just apply today, we have the Chazon Ish and Arichas here. Mr. Brewer discusses whether it applies today, this abridged Birkas HaMazon. Many, many poskim say it does not apply because we don't have this. We don't have this situation today of where you're getting paid like an hourly rate, and therefore based on production, based on the time, and therefore you would be penalized by being able to do this this way. I know that I answered Shreimig one time for somebody that there was a person who was working and had a limited amount of time for lunch, an hour, plus he had to learn the Daf Yomi. He wanted to know if he does an abridged version of Birkas HaMazon, he would be able to learn during that time. So Salmataris Adif, is he able to do that? And Rosh Hashanah told me the halach is no, even though this does exist, but it's Makom Tzairek for people. Not in the case over here. A person should not go ahead using an abridged version of Birkas HaMazon. And Mamela, even if it's connected to Talmud Torah, and he should do the regular bracha and without this. Only that person's in a situation where you can't have them together, you can't do a long thing, you have other chasat kap gadol, etc. We have this heter that we can use to do this, what we call an abridged version of benching. Yasam Lachim Berg, go ahead and bench the proper way. You can't do malacha while you're working. Lachim, what does that mean? That's what we say. Let him go do his work in the bench. In other words, clearly you see from here that you can't work with your bench because it says Yasam Malacha Yivarek. The fact that it doesn't say Yivarek for Yasam Malacha, it says Yasam Malacha Yivarek, clearly means that you cannot bench while you're working, and therefore you have to bench afterwards. And if you need to do this abridged version of benching, otherwise you bench. We'll continue tomorrow other halakas of kavana during tefillah.